Alicia. Thank you so much for coming along. And it's an exciting day for us in the life of the church. If you're new, it will be exciting just because you're new. But for the rest of us, there's some stuff that we need to talk about today. And just if you remember those meeting times, be great. Most people are half an hour late anyway, so just be arriving on the old time. So. I'm just teasing. But so today's an amazing day in the life of the church. It's a day that we get to talk about releasing Mark and Jen into their inheritance and into their future. And so it's either the best kept or the worst kept secret in the church. Some people say I knew about it, some didn't. But it's a very happy, sad day for us and Deborah and I, but it's something that we've really been trusting God for. And actually, when Mark and Jen came to be part of this team, it was really, they had a heart to plant, and we thought that they would transition even quicker than that. I'm so glad they didn't, because they've left an amazing inheritance in this church, and they will always be a part of this. But God has opened a huge door for them, I believe. And we're here to keep our hand open and open doors for people to walk into their inheritance. Remember, Dudley would tell us this, the guy that mentored me, it says there's a big difference between a leader and a father. And a leader is good, but a father always wants his children to go further than themselves. And we want our young people and the people in this church to stand on our shoulders and take the church to the next level, what God has to do. And so last year, speaking to Ivor Lewis at Trinity Christian Center, I've been working and partnering with Ivor for about 14 years. That church became part of New Covenant through our relationship with them. And we've worked with them since, saying that he needed to believe in God, that it was time for him to hand over that church to another couple. And it was the beginning of last year, around about then. And so a search began within New Covenant Ministries that really encompassed the globe, really. We have churches all over the world. And there were a number of people that the apostolic team, of which I'm a part of, felt could fit that role. But in my heart, I felt from the beginning, even then, although I never said it, and it's interesting because I think a few other opportunities had come up where I could have released Mark and Jen into, and I just felt they weren't right, and I often wonder whether they thought about those and why they weren't considered. But when this happened, I really felt in my heart, but you know, if it's God, it's going to happen. We don't have to make it happen. And that started a six-month journey for Ivor and Jackie and his team, I suppose, or with the apostolic team, on looking for the right person. They spoke to about six different couples and very gifted, anointed people. But, you know, it's got to settle in your own heart as a leader who the right person is. And I was in Denver in September, and Ivan and Jackie were there. We had a conference, and I just happened to ask them how it was going, because I knew some of the people that they had been talking to were at the conference. And they said they just didn't feel settled in their heart, you know, that God had revealed the right person. And so we had this conversation. I didn't say anything. And I went up and chatted to Deborah that evening. And I said, you know, I really feel it's Mark and Jen, but what are we going to do without them here? How are we going to live? It's like cutting off my one leg. And my darling wife, as wives always do, just reminded me that I wasn't God and that I couldn't stand in the way of their future. And so I do what I normally do. I phoned Ivor and I said, listen, I need to see you tomorrow morning, because I knew if I didn't do it by tomorrow morning, I would change my mind. And I had breakfast with them and I said, listen, I just would like you to consider Mark and Jen for this. And their response was amazing to me. I thought, they said, oh, not Mark and Jen. Okay, now it's, oh, thank you, Lord. I've done my bit. But they said right away, geez, are you serious? You'd release them to us. And I said, well, I think I'm serious, you know. But anyway, I just said this to them. I just said, listen, I don't want to set them up and get their hopes up. You guys need to pray about it and be at least 80% sure before you come back and speak to me and Deborah, and we will then take it from there, because you know, hope deferred can make the heart sick. And they came back that same week, and I remember Jen wasn't there. Mark was at that same conference. Jen wasn't there, and you know, mentioning it to him that this was an opportunity. He thought I was joking. But having said that, that started another journey for another 6 months with that church, with the apostolic team. And basically at the geographical training time with Tyron, he heads up the team. The deal was sealed. And Tyron was very happy, Ivan and Jackie, that church is. So today, we're announcing that they're going to be the lead elders and the lead team at Trinity in Victoria. Significant church, it's about 50 years old, and is well respected in British Columbia. So we're going to be doing that, and the last Sunday will be here the 16th of February, and we'll do all the praying and the crying and all of that kind of stuff then. And if you don't cry normally, just bring onions and they do help. But on the 15th of Feb, that night, we're going to do a banquet for them here. It's going to be a bring and share. We're going to celebrate them going. We're going to love on them, pray for them, and send them out with a good party. So please put those in your planners, and they'll be around for sure, because a lot of things are happening in the life of the church. I'll get to that. But it's just been such a privilege to work with these two amazing people. And one of the incredible things is that Jen actually got saved in this church. So she is part of the inheritance. And I was thinking about it. It always changes from service to service. So I think you're getting the more thought of version. But if we hadn't come here to plant, Jen, she could have got saved elsewhere because God's hand was on her, but she certainly wouldn't have met Mark. And I remember Jen coming to me, and I've reminded her in the first meeting, so she knows what the answer is. But she came to me and said she wanted to go on a mission trip to Africa, to Mozambique in South Africa. And one of my best friends, my children are there right now. They're serving there for a year. Ashley Bell is always my go-to guy. He's just such a good friend of mine. And sending a young wild in a courageous way into Africa. I said, Jen, you know, that's a crazy place. You need to be careful. I found out that she had caught a taxi into Soweto, and that turned my hair even grayer than it is. But I said, Jen, there's one thing. And Jen, I want you, now you remember, please bring the microphone here. I want you to tell them one of the things I told you, because you forgot when you met Mark. I know that, but
I'm sure it was, you have to come back.
You know? Okay, that's half of it. Come back. But the other half was, Jen, when you go to Africa, focus on what God has you there for. Don't get involved with any guys. These African guys are like predators, and they're looking for good Canadian girls. And you can sit down now, Jen. And I kid you not. Oh, I've got two now. I kid you not that. Thanks, Andy's too. We didn't even get feedback. You fast, man. And a week later, I got something like this. I think I'm in love. She had met Mark. Mark actually arranged to get a. Ashley arranged for Mark to fetch Jen from the airport. And they met that first day they arrived, and the rest is history. Obviously, I got hold of Ashley to find out who this guy was, and very pleasantly surprised. Actually, Ashley, who's a straight shooter, said, no, he's a good guy, and that was good enough for me. And we've had the privilege of watching them through the courtship in that time. And then married Mike and Jen here, and they went over there, was on staff there, came back. So the rest is history from that point of view, and it's just been an amazing opportunity to work with this incredible couple. And I always knew the future was to lead. I've always known that. Actually, at one stage, I thought that in their future might be here and actually leading this church at one stage, although I'm in no great hurry to hand it over. We have a lot of work to do here, and I can see at least another 5 years before that, praying about it, thing that we do take seriously. But we have work to do here, so we're not going anywhere. Our children are all over the world, but we're still here, and we love it here. Want to be part of it. And so I'm just going to ask them to come up, just share a little bit of their journey on this, and then we'll introduce you. Because in this process, when we got back from Denver, I was thinking, okay, we need somebody that sort of understands our model, understands church administration, and can fill their own shoes, but take us in the same direction. And I realized that I hadn't really done a good job at mentoring the ones below, because you tend to put all your eggs in one basket, and that basket was going to Victoria with all the eggs in it. And and so Grant Crawford was here, and I want you to understand, some of these guys that I'm on team with, I've worked with and known for 20, 25 years. We've been relating to this team for nearly 30 years. And so when I speak to them and so on, if they say that's the person, I trust them with my life. I don't have to know more than that from them. And so I was told Grant I'd released Mark and Jen, and we were just chatting. And he actually said to me at lunch, and he said, listen, I was praying this morning, and I have this couple in South Africa, and I really, they're sensing a new season in God. And he said, I really don't really want to do this. He says, they're a very important part of our church, but I feel in God to release them to you if you would like to have them here. And I mean, it took me handing over with this hand for God to fill my hand again. He can never fill a closed hand, and we can never outgive God. We need to understand that, whether it's our finances, our resources, God will be no one's debtor. He will always bless, because when we give to God, we're not giving anything, we're actually sowing, and there's always a harvest when we sow. And so this wonderful couple are sitting in the second row. They're here already. And Russ and Glenn and the Darren and Jaden are in the back there. He got a hold of them. They responded to the call, and they arrived a week ago. And so we have, it's just incredible. I'm just so excited to have them here, because just as Mark and Jen will have a fresh set of eyes for Trinity, you know, when you have the coal face, you can't often see ahead. So this couple, I believe, will come a fresh perspective to this church. They've served God in India for 7 years, served God with Grant on team for about 7 years, and now they're with us. And so it's just so wonderful how God does these things. We could never have orchestrated this, we could never have planned this, and it took letting go to receive. It wasn't the week before. It would have been way easier if Grant had said the week before, listen, I have this couple, and say, okay, that's easy. It was the week after, just amazing. But very quickly, because I was panicking, so God didn't keep me in the lurch too long. So I would love Mark and Jen to come up and just share a little bit. And yeah, you can give them a hand. They've been a good help.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Deborah. it feels like in so many ways, it's almost to the day 6 years ago that we were sitting in Russ and Glenn's shoes being welcomed in and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and having no idea the plans and purposes that God has for us, and they have been very, very sweet. God is very committed, very faithful, and the plans and purposes that He has for us and the future that He has for us are way bigger than I think we could ever dare to dream of or imagine. And sometimes it just takes us being faithful with the little and being faithful with the much that He then begins to entrust us to see the hand of God in our lives, and it's an incredible blessing. It really is. And this is a very bittersweet moment for us. I think there's such mixed emotions going on in us right now. Just looking across this room, and we love you very much. We love this city. We love this community. The inheritance and the future for this church is very, very significant. And that's the bitter part. The sweet part is that God has plans for us that are absolutely incredible. Every single one of us. And my encouragement to you is, I was sitting there going, me? Really? God's plans for you are significant. I just want to share a defining moment for us. I've got it written in my other Bible at home, clearly with the date, exactly what God said in Isaiah 43, on the top of my Bible, in October 2006. God spoke very clearly to us when we were right in the middle of just sensing a new season, sensing something new in God and not really fully understanding what and how that would look, and sensing in the middle of that Canada was part of our future, but really saying, God, I need something. I need a foundation to stand on, to know that I know that I know that you have called us and you have prepared us and you have equipped us, and that this next season we are walking into something that I can stand back on and say, I know that you have said. I know that you have opened doors and we have walked through. And He spoke this to me, and I was quite overwhelmed, because this in Isaiah 43 is a prophetic picture of Jesus. And I sat there and I thought, Lord, this is a picture of Jesus. This is not about me. And I felt Him say, you are my son. You have been grafted in, and this is as much for you as it is for anyone else. Jesus paved the way that this could be for you. And I want to read this for you, because this is what He said very clearly to me. Own this, receive this, believe it, because the plans He has for you are significant. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waves, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not get burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom. I give Cush and Sheba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. Isn't that remarkable? Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes that are blind. And I can keep reading. I want to stop there. It's a significant portion of Scripture that has been a rock, a solid rock for me over these last years. Mike and Deb, thank you for opening a door. Thank you for paving a way. Thank you for pioneering and paying the price so that we could stand on your shoulders. Friends, I want to encourage you. This did not exist 16 years ago, but for a couple that said yes and went through the pain of the journey, the privilege of the journey, the pleasures of the journey, but because they've stayed faithful, you and I get to step into the inheritance that God has for us as we have come alongside and served who they are, and yet still heard God and honored God, and you see Him start to open His hand in releasing us to our future. It's amazing in God's economy how this works. It's always amazing to look back in the middle of the journey. It's tough sometimes, but thank you for who you are. Friends, I want to encourage you, put your lot in with this couple. Love them, appreciate them, pray for them, but trust that God's hand is on them to lead you into spacious places. Even when it might not seem like it at times, even when you might feel frustrated, God loves you. God is very committed to you, and He has anointed and appointed them, and there is a mantle on them for this season and this eldership team. Paul and Katie, thank you for loving us the way you have as well. We just appreciate you very much. I'm actually starting to waffle now. I'm running. I don't know when last I had the emotions coursing through me as I have today. So I'm going to hand over to my beautiful wife and just thank you for loving us. We're not quite gone yet, so we just look forward to this next month of really appreciating you and enjoying the time with you. God bless you. Thank you, Mike.
I don't know what to say. Any questions? Pretty much summed it up, didn't he? Yeah, we are excited. I think, you know, at first it was a hard thing because I really love this city. I love Nanaimo. I grew up here. I was saved in this church. I have such a heart for the city, for the people in this community. It really is wonderful. But it, you know, and I think now I've moved on in my heart, you know, because when you can fix your eyes on what's ahead, you know, yeah, you can look ahead. I think it's interesting because when I married Mark, moved to South Africa, and I remember Deborah saying, because they came out for a visit, and I said, I was only there for about a year, like, when am I going to feel like this is home, like, just missing home and wondering if I'm going to settle in, and she said, yeah, it takes about 2 years, you know, to settle into a new country. So by 2 years, sure enough, maybe I just stuck to that and thought, okay, 2 years. I did. I felt like I'd settled in, and I really loved Africa. It was home. I didn't want to leave. I really didn't. And I remember also Mike saying something significant to me was, you need to live in a place like you're going to die there, but keep an open hand to God wherever He wants to move you. So that's really what I did in South Africa when I married and moved there with Mark, is I lived there to the fullest. I mean, I did trips up into Africa. I served my heart out into the community, into the hospitals, and just different outreach things, and loved that place dearly. And then when, you know, God had started to move us on, I thought, no, I don't want to move. And I didn't want to come back here, funny enough, in the carnal mind. I was like, no, I'm going backwards, man. I grew up in Nanaimo, in Oceanside. I was saved. I don't want to go back there. And it's funny, when we did come back here, because, yes, I heard God, and I thought, okay, yep, I'll come back here. And now, you know, I could say since, you know, quite a while ago, I just love this place. I love this community. I love this city. And, again, I didn't want to leave here. And it's funny now, the next journey, and God is that good. And He cares about, you know, where we're at. And He wants us to live in the moment of where we're at for all of us. So be still and be content in where He has you in each season of your life, because every place is where He wants you and is important. So we're very excited, and we're going to miss all of you, but we're only an hour and a half away. So Victoria is a great place, and it really warms my heart that we can stay on the island. I was actually secretly praying for that because, you know, I really have a deep passion for the island, just to see God rock this place just with awesomeness. So I'm really excited.
Thank you, everyone. Just, we appreciate who you are. You appreciate your prayers over this next season. We are very excited. God is speaking to us much about this next chapter, and we are excited. Pray for Trinity as well in this season. Thank you. God bless you.
Wonderful. My wife was going to say something, but I think she's just feeling a little bit too emotional at the moment, so that's good. Yeah.
I'll be totally honest. I just feel, because we did it this morning, I feel like I'm going to be saying the same thing again, and please forgive me, those that were here this morning. And I do feel emotional, and it is with a very full heart. And it's you have made such an impression on both of us and on this community, on this body, and we so appreciate you. And as I said, like, our lives are so enriched because of Mark and Jen and what they have deposited in our lives and in this church. Eh? And I shared with Jehoshaphat, and the word I emitted was worship warrior. You know, it's to be a worship warrior. And it's like whatever we do as we lead, that God is going to give you the desires of your heart. He is going to give you plans. He's going to give you strategies. But that's going to come from a heart of worship, that you will be able to face the enemy.
Wonderful.
And with such joy. I just thank you, Father God, just for the windows of heaven that open and deluge over the Detroit family, Lord God. That you deluge your blessing. That you deluge your joy and your peace and your favor and your success over them in Jesus' name. I just see favor and success in what you do. The smile of heaven. Oh, Father, I just thank you for open heaven over you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Now, our vision statement there is become this afternoon, we'll talk a bit more. It's to be a gathering, healing, training, and sending church. And those four were, sorry? Yeah. It's changed from this week to be gathering, healing, training, and staying church. Nobody else is allowed to leave. But those are huge words. I mean, they're as big as small as we want them to be, actually. And we really felt God give us that before we left here, that we would gather in the lost, the broken, the hurt, burnt stones, and that this would be a place of healing, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional healing, that we would equip people and then we would send them. And I've just got a list here at this very moment just to let you know where we have people around the world right now. And we've got Christy in South Africa. She's working as a teacher at a mission school. Erin and Julia are in Hong Kong. They're working with teaching English there. We have Marilyn, who's not here now, but leaves tomorrow to work in Guatemala. Dave and Melina Ng, who are going to be in Cambodia, and maybe in the future look to planting a church, partnering with us with that, working on water projects there. Dave and Laura Market are going to Mexico to help build houses there for a season. We have AJ, who's in the Philippines at the moment, working with the earthquake disaster relief. And then we have Cam and Michelle, my daughter and son-in-law, who will be in Africa for at least a year, working there. They've only got there on Friday or Thursday or Friday. And so it's very new for us. But we're starting to see that happen. And I want to see that more, that we open our hands and release. But there needs to be a process of equipping and discipling that goes with that. You know, it's amazing to me sometimes how nobody would come to this Christian school here and say, listen, God's called me to be a teacher. And they say, well, are you equipped for that? And they say, no, you know, I just feel God's called me to be that. And I mean, you wouldn't do that. But in the church, it seems that, you know, there's a call of God, but there's a training and equipping and a releasing. And we have Bible schools. So Wednesday night, I meet with the young guys between 18 and about 35-ish with Wesley, and we're doing some equipping there and partying. It's open to you. And we're going to do more and more of these things because we want to see our people not only impact the city but the nations. Wednesday mornings, the men's group, 6:30 Wednesdays, is phenomenal, and a lot of good stuff is happening there. But we want to send people that are equipped. Discipleship course that Doug runs for the home groups, how to lead a home group. If you can lead a home group, it's a very good indication that a home group is like a small church, isn't it? You'd say that? Just, this is a bigger... So if you can do that, it's a good way, place to start. And I just want to mention this, is that in Luke 16, Jesus says some amazing things. And he says, if you're faithful with little... God will give you more. And if you're faithful with worldly riches, he'll trust you with true riches, the riches of the kingdom, with people. And then he says, if you are faithful with another man's, he'll give you your own. So those are the three things. And people have often asked me, Deborah and I, how we got into ministry. I have a financial background. I actually come from a corporate banking background. I was with First National Bank, which is Barclays, in a sense, and enjoyed my life there, enjoyed ministry at the same time. But God called us, and that started a process of being equipped to go and to come and plant this church, about a five-year process for us. But somebody asked me when I came here, how did you learn how to lead a church? And it was a great question because there's so many facets of it. And I remember thinking about it and coming back and saying, you know, Deborah and I, got saved in the early 80s, were involved in every area of the life of that church at some stage or another. We just had a leader, a Dudley, that said, learn to say yes more than no. And don't only do the things you like doing, because how do you know what God is trying to teach you for your future? So when I was asked to teach Sunday school, I said, are you kidding me? You know, and that kind of thing. But we did it. Youth. We got involved. We led the youth group. We led home groups. I lived near the church, and I'd mow the lawn there, just whatever. I mean, we did whatever we were asked. I mean, not 100%. Sometimes we couldn't. But by the time I got here, I realized there was not one area of the church that we didn't have some idea of how it worked in. And it's a safe place to learn here. You know, if you're going to lead a church, you better know how Sunday school works, because I tell you, children are important. You better know how home groups work. So people, we bring the focus of our vision to, this is who I am and this is what God's called me to be. But if you want to be, to lead, you have to be a generalist and a specialist. You have special giftings that God gives you, but you need to know many things in the facets. How to put our chairs properly. How to set up a worship band. How to run a sound desk. All of these things. You say, oh, geez, do I have to do this? No, you don't have to do it. Because Jesus actually says, many are called, but only few are chosen. Isn't that amazing? And it's the faithfulness that will take you on that journey. And I had never, ever dreamt of ever leading a church or being out of my job. I love my job. I had the opportunity to travel the world, and I loved it. But when that call came, not only had we been prepared before that, but that process, I realized I needed to know a little bit of theology. I needed to know all of these kind of things. And so I want to encourage you, make yourself ready. Don't just rock up at James's door, who heads up the school, and say, hey, God's called me to teach you. He'll say, do you go to Oceanside? Get across the road, you need prayer. Or go to school. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. And so just with this wonderful couple, if you would come for Russ and Glenn, and if your boys, if you don't mind, just because they're here. Jaden and Darren, can you please come up here? And I'm going to introduce them to you. Well, I just basically have. This is Russ, Glenn, Jaden, and Darren. And, Darren and Jaden, get them in their ages here. And they've just arrived from South Africa just over a week ago to come and be, and in a sense, they will transition into what Mark and Jen will be doing. They come well equipped. The church that they were involved in and the administration of is a little bit bigger than this. It's about 5,000 people. So they've got a lot that we can learn from them, but we can teach them a lot too about cross-cultural ministry. So I just want to let them introduce themselves. And
great. Good morning. I should say good afternoon. I'm going to let Glenn introduce herself and the boys first, and then I'll take it from there.
Hi, Hi there. Just to say we are so excited to be here and we felt so welcomed. So thank you. Please be very gracious as we learn everybody's names. And if we try introducing ourselves to you the second time to say, oh, you have already met me and this is when you met me. So, we think Nanaimo is beautiful and we are so excited about this next season that God's got us here for. So, and the boys? This is Jaden, and he's in grade 2, and this is Darren, and he's in grade 5. And they're at the school here, and they had a great first week, so.
Great, yes. As Lynn said, we're really excited to be here. I know that we're short of time, so I'm not going to speak long, but just to say that we've come on an exciting journey. Not only starting here in Nanaimo, but it started when we met Jesus. And he's just had us on a journey of faith, a journey of fun, a journey of extravagance, and a journey of knowing that he's got so much more for us. And so we're actually standing here in the bounty of the more. And we know that because we've met some of you already. And I said this morning in the first meeting that we feel like kids in a candy store. Just meeting such sweet people, and we thank you so much already for the welcome that we've had to Nanaimo and to Oceanside. And we know that God has got us on a journey together with you. We came out of a church, but I also said this morning that we do not have a home church back in South Africa. We haven't come as missionaries. We have a home church here in Nanaimo here, and it's called Oceanside. And so we very privileged to be part of what God is doing here. We thank Mark and Debs for the invitation to be here and to journey with you into the next season. Acts 17 has a great scripture. It says, he determines the exact... the power. More, Lord. He determines the exact times and places or the boundaries or the living spaces that we are brought into. And it carries on after that to say, and in him... we live and we move and we have our being. And so together with you, we're excited to live in him, in this place for the next season. We know God has got us on an extravagant journey and we're a part of it. Yay. So thank you. Thank you, God.
I think just on behalf of our community, just wanted to give you guys some flowers and say we welcome you as family, and we're blessed to have you. So just want to encourage you guys to take time to get to know them, have them over for food, teach them what it means to be a Canadian, and teach them what it's like to live in the cold here. So welcome. We love
wonderful.
You guys.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Why more South Africans? Well, first of all, I didn't want you to miss Mark too much, Mark and Jen. But it's an amazing thing if you look at God's seasons. You know, if you look at South Africa and Southern Africa, was significantly impacted by Canadian missionaries. And many of the churches there, roots come back to Canada. And in particular, John G. Lake planted about 400 churches in South Africa while he was there. And he was born in Ontario, Canada. And so there's seasons in God. It's almost like you sow, and what do you do when you sow? You reap. And it's almost like this is a reaping back into this nation, not only from South Africa, but from other nations that Canada has blessed. And there's a sowing back again. And that's the process as we send people, and so it goes in the economy of God. And I just look forward to what God has in store for us and for this church. And just as I said in the first meeting to you guys, we're here for you. Ours is yours. And we look forward to partnering with that amazing church. And may God richly bless you. And thank you.